Hey, this is Brian from your friendly neighborhood Infamous podcast, and we have a deal for you. If you go to comixology.com right now and spend $15, when you check out, use the code Infamous and you get $5 off. That's right. When you spend $15 on comics at comixology.com, you get $5 off when you use the code Infamous. So go help out the show and your friends at the Infamous podcast and get some digital comics. You're welcome. Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny.
And this week, Johnny, we are talking about Star Wars Rebels.
Why are you telling me that? I already knew that.
I wasn't sure, man. You know, a lot of times we
there's paper sitting on the table with, like, the words Jedi and wolves and doom and, on them.
You know, there's a lot of time we go to start the show and you're looking at your phone and I don't know if you're paying attention. And no, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm Brian.
You already said that.
Oh, did I? Okay.
Yeah.
You're Johnny.
And we're talking about Rebels today, Brian.
We're talking about Rebels today. Anyway. All right. So I just want to get right into it because we're just going to talk about this. But real quick, John Williams, you brought it up before we came on. And I think
I can't remember if I read that or not.
I think they announced it like a week ago at least. Okay. Is leaving Star Wars after episode.
Well, he's
nine.
Retiring altogether.
Is it altogether?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cause yeah, I think
the
like,
way I
Star
read...
Wars is the last.
Okay.
You know.
Because the way I read the article, it sounded like he was just done with Star Wars.
Oh, right. The way I read a different article then.
Which would be really cool if they would, like, regardless, it'd be really cool if they bring Kevin Keener.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah.
Rebels
yeah.
into.
Yeah, he's doing the next animated series.
Yeah, well. And we'll get into that.
The one that takes place in the future.
Yep.
With Cade Skywalker and the alternate universe.
Cade Skywalker and Jason Syndulla. That being said, there are spoilers. So if you haven't watched the second half of the final season of
if
Rebels,
you haven't
one
watched
what's
the
wrong
second
with
half?
You?
I was like, what have you been doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been done for
what
over
was
a week
it?
Now.
Seven,
six.
Eight?
Well,
six episodes?
Six.
Eight, really.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, seven, really.
Yeah.
So six with a 1 hour finale.
Right. There we go.
But
yeah, that's right.
Anyway, just before we get started talking about this, though. These six episodes.
Did you want to cry?
No.
You get a little...
I might cry a little bit. But,
it's dusty in this house.
I'm going to put this story arc up against any Star Wars media, movies included.
I don't know. Attack of the Clones. is terrible compared to all of Star Wars.
Terrible compared to all of Star Wars. I love it. So this makes me, what they did here makes me like The Last Jedi less.
Okay.
And I'll get into it.
Just because the story was stronger than The Last Jedi?
It's not just the story. And we'll start with Jedi Knight.
Right.
This was the first episode back.
And the one thing I want to say is, imagine what Clone Wars would have been if he would have just been able to end it, actually end it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You know? Exactly. Because there could have been a definitive ending to Clone Wars.
Well, the definitive end should have been Order 66 in, like, the immediate whatever happened right after
right.
and then end.
Yeah.
You know?
Or the end would have been showing... Rex and Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
Like taking their
chips out.
Chips out. Yeah.
Awesome. So anyway.
And disappearing when Order 66
yeah.
happened.
Grega and Rex and Wolf
yeah.
with his wolf pack.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was awesome. Okay, let's talk about Jedi Knight. That was the first episode.
Didn't we talk
back.
About Jedi Knight?
No, we briefly mentioned it,
okay.
but we did not talk. We didn't go really into it.
Oh, that's right. You were too busy crying, weeping
because
Kanan died.
I was weeping. So Kanan dies in this one. And he goes out, like a total badass.
Well, he is a Jedi after all.
Well, and I think this was the complete manifestation of his power. He was never more powerful than he was in that moment, and he would have never been more powerful.
The power was always there. It's just he never
it was just unlocked.
He never had a reason to use it.
Maybe yeah. That's a good way to look at it. And I also think when Hera told him that she loved him.
Yes.
And you know, I mean, because they've had their thing and, you know, throughout the series.
Obviously, they've had a thing.
Right. And if you go back throughout the series, you'll see them like coming out of her bunk or his bunk from time to time.
And now we know why.
And now we know why, right? So anyway, but when she said flat out, I love you,
mm-hmm. that kind of let him let go.
Yeah.
And let the attachment, like, let the attachment leave and, like, you know, really kind of ascend.
Yeah.
It was such a, just the way the scene was shot or animated, not
oh,
shot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was
yeah.
beautiful with the.
You can say shot.
Yeah.
It, I mean, it's done in a computer, but it's still,
composited,
they have to.
Yeah.
They have to do it
frame
like
by frame.
They're shooting a movie in a way.
Right.
I mean, you have to base the character. But, you have to base the scene.
So watching those cracks. And I know we jumped to the end of the episode, but like
well,
the whole episode.
On this
really
episode,
good.
It's fine, I think, but, because the thing that was this episode was the end of the episode.
Right. But watching those cracks kind of make their way up and everything and how he's pushing
oh, yeah,
the flame
yeah.
back. And then she runs towards him and he kind of forced holds her in place.
Yep.
And, you know, they kind of they have that moment and then his eyes come
yeah.
back, which was so it was such an amazing
it was that
moment.
That one last he got to see her for one last
yeah.
time before he became one with the Force.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I think the other cool thing in this episode was at the beginning he has his Kurosawa moment where, you know, he
yeah.
shaves his head and his beard. I need that action figure.
Well, I think what that was is the idea that Caleb Doom the Jedi
had returned. Yeah.
And Kanan Jarrus was pretty much gone
right.
at that point.
So Ezra really kind of steps up because he comes to Ezra and he says, hey, you have to lead this mission.
Yeah.
And, man.
Kanan knew from the beginning that
well,
he was going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it was pretty much just telling Ezra, "You're it's you now.
Well, and the other thing, too, is it goes back to season two with the Bendu.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of the Bendu that came back into play this season, which was really awesome to see.
Was
Filoni.
That last year? That was last year.
No, it was season two.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was the end of season two when the oh no, I guess it was
yeah,
the end of season
three.
Three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The end of season three.
Yeah, because Ahsoka
Thrawn.
Never
yeah,
met
Thrawn
the Bendu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it goes to show that the Jedi Temple was probably not the best place to be. For these force wielding kids.
Yeah.
Because Ezra, you know, is so ingenious with the things he comes up with and ways to use the force, right?
Right?
No,
the idea that George Lucas had of bringing Jedi to a temple to mm-hmm. train is the reason why the Jedi fell.
Right.
I mean, George Lucas was pretty much like saying, yeah, this is the reason why the Jedi didn't last. And that because they brought Anakin to the temple.
Right.
If Anakin would have stayed on Tatooine, Anakin probably would have been one of the best Jedi ever.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if the Jedi Padawans were trained in their home environments with their family attachments.
Right.
With, you know, their friends and whoever would become their friends as they got older. If they were trained that way, it gives them more to care about. It's
about?
Less anger, it's
right.
more protector
mm-hmm.
is what the Jedi should have been.
It's in just the ingenuity, right? He had the blaster lightsaber hybrid.
Yeah. Yeah.
The idea to follow the Lothbats with those gliders.
Right.
You know, and you know, there was a little bit of force used to
yeah.
fly those things in. You know, it was just really great to see the I know we had talked a while ago about like him and Sabine maybe like hooking up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm so happy they didn't go that route.
Well, and just listening to the discussion of them being friends.
The respect that they have for each
yeah.
other and the friendship. And like, I think it was that brother sister familial
yeah.
bond. Because at the beginning, you know, he kind of had the hots for her.
Yeah.
And, you know, that they wrote that out pretty quick.
One romance was yeah. enough on that show.
Yeah. And the way they handled the romance
right.
was great. Hera being held captive was some of the best Hera stuff. Vanessa Marshall
the drugged up Hera.
When she was drugged up, you know, she's like, oh, I hate
well,
your
the,
hair.
Well, the idea of Governor Price letting her ego get too much in the way and what it did by the end of that episode.
Oh, yeah.
And Thrawn, you know.
Essentially threatening to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like...
And totally makes sense for what happened with Rogue One, with the Death Star actually being the program they used
right.
instead of the TIE
Well,
Defender.
And we know why the TIE Defenders never became
right.
a thing.
Yeah.
because she blew up the fuel depot.
And then he blew up
and then
parts of the city.
So, but she, this paid off a lot of what Zahn laid out for Arenda Price in Thrawn.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that, that when I was sitting there, I'm like, you know, this is really a good way of ending this character. You know, by the end of this season, you knew she was going to be dead. And it's like, the, if you read Thrawn, you're like, okay, this is the development of that character to the end.
Right, right. And she had those machinations too of like, I know better than everybody else and I'm this, I'm that. But yeah, I thought
I told Elva, I said that, and you know, we'll jump around the episodes. We're not going to just do each episode. This will be a 2 hour. When she is finally captured at the end.
Yeah.
And I told Elva that she is the opposite of Ezra.
Yeah.
She is the mirror image of Ezra because Ezra and her both are from Lothal.
Right.
And she don't care about Lothal.
Absolutely
she didn't care about anything in it. Yeah. And that's why when the wolves attack her and when, you know, she's and when her story ends, it ends for a reason.
Right.
And whereas Ezra's story still hasn't ended.
No. And which is great. All right. So the next one that followed this was Doom.
Yep.
Which it was that great send off to Kanan. Like he had that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
But then we got to see the ripple effect of the family.
Right.
When they show back up and Zeb is like,
well, it's the Kanan? Steps. The steps of
It was where's Kanan? Oh,
grief, anger, yeah, and
he's
everything.
Gone.
Yeah.
Now I think though, had they so, you know, him and Sabine, they go and they do their thing, and Thrawn expects them to lash out.
Yes.
And I thought it was really important to show the restraint that Sabine exhibited.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's
well,
no
I
way
think it was that
Zeb
whole
doesn't
idea
kill
that
Rook.
They did the unexpected.
Right.
And that's the thing is Thrawn knows them so well that, you know, he knows what they're going to do. And
I
then
mean,
they,
yeah. In
they
a lot
do
of ways,
it and they don't even think about it, but they do the opposite of what he expects.
In a lot of ways, he knows them better than they know themselves.
Yeah.
But he doesn't understand the level of improvisation that this rebel cell has. But I mean, it was great. It was interesting. Like the Hera stuff was great. Watching her go from the grief kind of widow type of a role to by the end, she was like, okay, like, you
well,
know,
and it was Chopper there for her. And you know, it was that thing where, you know, Chopper's always been there for her.
Absolutely.
Since she was a
kid. Since the Clone Wars.
Yeah. And, you know, Kanan came later. So Chopper understood and Chopper was there to support her. And I think if she didn't have Chopper, she wouldn't have gotten through it so easily.
Well, and I think getting the Kalikori back
and
being able to put Kanan on
Kanan
there
onto it
was
yeah.
really, it was really that. Okay.
And Chopper understood that. And that's pretty much like what he was telling her. Like, you know, you need to put him on there. He's part of the family. And that, so definitely.
Yeah, the whole thing,
the
with,
thing with Rook and Zeb.
With Rook and Zeb, there's no way Zeb doesn't kill him. If
but
Sabine
it wasn't
going to
happen then.
No, it absolutely wasn't.
Yeah.
But the Sabine with the paint.
Yeah.
I totally thought she was going to blow him up.
I love that she painted him.
But the paint was so much better. Because it's like, oh my God, she's going to blow him up.
Yeah.
And then what's going to happen? No. It's, here's the paint, Zeb kick his ass.
Yeah.
And it was such a cool move. Yep. You know, I think of all of the episodes in the end, this was the one, you know, that took the with Jedi Knight, which was a big tidal wave of story and emotion and that stuff coming in, and this kind of was that calm. It was the eye of the storm.
What was
the rest of the story then to roll in
where we have to set up the end is this,
because without
Jedi Knight was not a setup for the end. This was because the wolves pretty much told Ezra what he needed to do. He had a vision too, you
so
know?
Without this episode, wolves and a door and the between two realms or a world between worlds. I don't think those episodes have the gravity that they ended up having
because this literally was getting everything out of the way, getting all the grief out of the way, and that it was literally for the fans. I think it was that breath that needed to be taken because I'm sure that there were a lot of people that were very upset.
Mm-hmm.
I seen it coming. I'm sure a lot of people seen it coming too.
We knew it was,
but I don't
happen.
Think a lot of people seen it coming, and I think that a lot of people probably were upset.
Yeah,
and this episode was the breath.
Were
that
you
needed
surprised
to be taken.
By the body count or lack thereof?
The body
of the,
count
for the just the finale, as far as like the
no.
number.
No,
of people who died or didn't die.
I didn't expect many to die. Yeah. I mean, you know, if anything, the main cast and the supporting cast on the show are very beloved by the fans.
Oh, yeah.
And what? We've had two die?
You had Kanan and Gregor. That was it.
And Price.
Well, yeah. But yeah, I'm talking about the heroes. But
well,
yeah.
I just look at the whole cast.
Well, yeah, Price
as a whole,
and Rook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Rook, Rook was expected.
Yeah, that was... That was interesting. Okay, so Wolves at the Door, or Wolves in a Door, was really, really cool as far as tying back to the Clone Wars.
Yes.
You have the Mortis gods. You have Malcolm McDowell playing the Crypt Keeper, essentially, who was that was such a great voice to use for that character.
Yeah, literally when he started talking, I'm like, oh, hey, Malcolm McDowell.
And it's like, nice. I was like, yes, Malcolm.
I'm like, eventually he was going to have to show up as an Imperial in something or other.
Absolutely,
so, you
right.
know,
but the tying back in the Mortis gods and mm-hmm. all of that, and, the father and the son and the daughter,
yep.
That 3-episode arc of Clone Wars is some of Clone Wars at its finest. It's the first time that we ever saw a non-Sith or non-Jedi really use the light
you
and the dark
like
side
you're
of the
on
Force.
Drugs for that entire like story arc. Though.
Yeah. Yeah,
you really do.
In the cool
and this
thing
one
too,
goes right. I mean, this is
well in yeah. the 2D animation that they used for yeah. the first time looked just so beautiful.
Yeah.
It was such a cool. The
now
whole
that this
thing
is over, I'd
cool.
be curious to watch those three and these two.
Yeah,
back to back,
back to back,
and just see if anything makes more sense. Because there's still things that don't make any sense.
About the Mortis gods or
about the Mortis gods and about
the world,
what happened
worlds.
In the world between yeah. worlds and, you know.
So I was under the impression, and this is just me reading into both of those stories.
Yeah.
Is the father had access to the world between worlds.
Yeah.
The children did
the
not.
The children
have,
did not. Yeah.
Because he was balanced. With
well,
the
he
force.
Was the balance of the force.
Right.
Yeah.
But no, he wasn't just the balance of the force. He was literally, like, he was both literally and figuratively balanced with the force.
Mm-hmm.
So he had that way to get in and out.
Mm-hmm.
With Kanan's death and what came next, I think this is the most balanced Ezra's ever been.
Yeah.
Because he understood, on some level, what Kanan had to do.
Right.
And that's why the temple let him in. That and his connection to the Loth Wolves and the Loth Cats.
Just
and,
the connection to
Lothal.
With Lothal
in general. And with that particular
and being
Jedi
able to
temple.
Go into the temple multiple times.
Right.
Because I don't think without Ezra, Kanan wouldn't have been able to go into the temple.
Right.
And Ahsoka wouldn't have been able to go into
the temple. Ahsoka absolutely would not. And as powerful as she is, that temple would have never let her
in. Well,
and
like
Ezra.
You said, this is, and the thing that people forget is Dave Filoni worked with George Lucas.
Yeah.
They worked together on Clone Wars. Dave knows a bit more about what's going on in the Star Wars universe than JJ or Ryan or Kathleen Kennedy.
On Rebels Recon, Filoni said, I learned at the altar of
right.
George Lucas.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's what I'm like. He knows a little bit more about what's going on in the universe of Star Wars. So for the fact that, you know, he brought back people they created.
Oh, yeah.
Not literally, but figuratively brought mm-hmm. them back and acknowledged the idea that we were talking about. A Jedi Padawan training on their home world makes more sense than a Jedi Padawan training in a temple.
Yeah, in a cold, sterile
because
environment.
Because the world itself seems to be attached to the Jedi.
It's like his Asgard.
Yeah.
He's the Asgard is the power and he powers Asgard.
You know,
Asgard
it's the same
thing.
Idea as Tatooine because, you know, Anakin goes back, Luke eventually ends up there, you know, and Leia ends up there.
Right.
Because Tatooine was linked to Anakin.
Right.
And so it would be linked to the children.
Plus, too. Tatooine has Tashi Station and power converters, which is what, you know.
oh, I need to go pick some of this up later on.
No, this was a great mythology.
I have time later to hang out with my friends, you know?
This was a great mythology building episode.
Yeah, how do we build a mythology at the end of the show?
But they did it successfully.
And linked every single Star Wars that's ever been made, except for the holiday special. Yeah. Linked everything in there.
So from the moment this one ended to where he falls through the doorway.
Yeah.
And it ends, right?
Right.
Like, if I would have had to wait a week for a world between worlds,
lost your mind.
I would have been going out of my mind. Yeah. I would have been begging.
Where did he go?
I would have been begging whoever to give me. Yeah. Well, right. You know,
yeah,
where
people
did
would
he
have
go?
Been. This would have been one where the internet conversation would have been good to watch for a week just to see the speculation.
But I think the speculation would have ruined what actually happened.
What
because
happens?
Nobody would have guessed that.
I was right about Ahsoka.
You were right about Ahsoka. And we'll get to Ahsoka.
Because I knew the whole time about the world between
you
worlds.
Knew, okay. Sure you did. So
maybe in a way, I think since I've been so deep into this stuff
right.
for my whole life.
Yeah.
I think in a way I knew something about the world between worlds, mm-hmm. but I didn't know what it was.
And
because listening to Yoda, listening to Obi-Wan,
right.
listening to the Jedi over the years, it's like you realize that there is something.
There's something more.
It's not midichlorians.
Right.
There's something that's not on this level.
There's some manifestation of the
right.
Force that's out there. The interesting thing, too, is this is not the first time Ezra has been to the world between worlds. When he found his kyber crystal, that's where
Yoda.
He was. When he talked to Yoda, both times
yeah.
he talked to Yoda, the
yeah.
first time he could just hear him, the second time when he sees him, that was the world opening up to him. And that was him
and that's
becoming
when you realize
more
that Yoda is becoming more with the Force because
right.
of the progression of it. Because he could talk to Qui-Gon.
Mm-hmm.
He told Obi-Wan he could talk to Qui-Gon.
Right.
But he couldn't see Qui-Gon.
Right.
And, you know, by the time Obi-Wan and him die, Luke can see them.
Right.
And interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, I think that this is a progression for Yoda, too, that we've seen.
Which was cool.
Right, yeah.
And it's great to see, you know.
Now, when this opens up, I think it's just we're getting echoes of
The
time.
Of time.
Yeah.
Of not just the past, but of the future.
This was literally like when people like lost their crap because it's like time travel in the Star Wars universe. Finally.
Right. Kinda.
I'm like,
yes,
I
but no.
Don't feel like it was time travel as much as it was. The Force works on many levels.
Right.
So this is just like the central vibration point of the Force.
So after the episode ended, I went back and I put that part on with headphones on.
Oh, you
so
did
I
you watch
hear,
the YouTube video yet?
There's
a YouTube video.
Yeah, but I mean, but this was before any of that stuff
right.
was shot, just so I could like hear
right.
everything. And it was so cool, it was such a smart idea.
Well, I mean, there was stuff that I missed when the YouTube video
right.
that somebody did that was cool. Excuse me. I missed I Am One with the Force, and the Force is One with Me.
Right.
I missed Jyn Erso talking.
Yeah.
I missed Kylo Ren talking.
Mm-hmm.
I heard Maz,
yeah.
but I didn't hear Rey.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's like, that's cool.
I missed Liam Neeson the first time. I didn't hear Qui-Gon the first
time.
Oh,
the thing from the Mortis episode. Yeah.
Exactly.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's, you know.
So this world
three
was,
different Obi-Wans?
Yeah, all three. Yeah, all three of them. So it was so neat. Like, I was upset that I, or not upset, but I would have liked to have heard Maul. In
yeah.
there, and he wasn't, just because it would have been nice to
I think
have.
It was just the idea of the only Sith you hear is Vader.
Right. But it would have been nice to have Sam Witwer
yeah.
back, just
yeah.
because, you know, he's so
he
tied
was
into this.
He was playing a Stormtrooper.
I know he was, I'm
yeah.
sure, yeah.
Anyway. I think he actually did
oh,
play
he?
One of the Stormtroopers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So Filoni explained all of this.
Yeah.
So he couldn't have gone through any of those doors without breaking reality.
Oh yeah, it would have tore the whole universe apart.
When he pulls her out, it was because it was the will of the Mortis gods,
mm-hmm.
and it was the will of the Force.
Well, yeah, it all goes back to those three episodes
right.
because she, of Obi-Wan, Anakin, and Ahsoka is the only one that made an impression.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like on the Mortis gods.
Oh yeah,
And the other two were just being manipulated mm-hmm. for their destinies were coming. You know, their destinies were known, whereas Ahsoka's destiny was not known, I think, even to the Mortis gods. Yeah. And eventually she is not a Jedi.
Right.
She says it. I am not a Jedi.
I mean, that scene. So going back and watching Twilight of the Apprentice and then watching this, you kind of get that whole fight scene. And when you know, she tells him, I'll avenge him.
Yeah.
Because he says, you know, I killed your master.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, then I'll avenge him. And she goes, and he goes, revenge is not the Jedi way. And she just, that look, one, the way they animated her face and the way Ashley Eckstein delivered the line. And she just goes, I am no Jedi. It's like, oh my God. Ahsoka's all of a sudden my favorite character in all of Star Wars.
And it's like, you know, you from the end of that episode felt that she died.
I did. I thought that she died. And
I think that like there's a good misleading point that she does die. But when they show her walking into the cave, I'm like, that's like the cave that Luke walked into.
Yeah. That's part of it.
And I'm like, she's not dead.
Well, she would have died.
She would have died, but you know,
he was coming down.
The Force intervened,
but the Force needed her.
Yeah.
Her story was not done. Yeah. It was not to end there. But when she drove those sabers down into the ground, that was awesome.
Literally, I was like, thank you for the answers to the end of that episode, because I'm like, why was Vader coming out of the ground? You know, what was her walking into the cave?
Right.
And I'm like, you pretty much answered those questions.
Well, the question too is, why is Vader walking away and leaving her alive? Right,
because he didn't know she was alive. Because
she disappeared.
Right.
Like, he just assumed she was gone.
So the way that time frame works is he falls down into the ground, comes out, and is going back to his ship.
Right.
And
Ezra
she
pops
jumps
her
back,
back
through.
Yeah,
or, yeah, she jumps back through the Stargate.
Right.
And literally she lands there and everything's collapsing. Yeah. And that's when she says, may the Force be with you, and sees the cave and knows what she's supposed to do.
Right. And then Palpatine in this episode was amazing.
Oh, God.
Just amazing.
I'm glad they got Ian McDermott to actually play him.
It's not only that
Sam Witwer has played him.
He has.
And
in,
I'm
in
like,
Clone Wars.
But I'm like, I'm glad that Ian
McDermott.
I'm glad
they got Ian. But the way
just
they
the way
animated,
he says Ezra Bridger.
Ezra Bridger.
Yeah.
Ahsoka Tano.
Uh-huh.
But the way they animated him was so,
so
good. He had that jaw and the nose and the hood the way it was and his hands. That was my favorite part of his animation.
Well, and the thing with him showing up as a hologram
was
totally different. No, at the beginning, when he's talking to the minister.
Yeah.
Him and then him showing up in the world between worlds.
Yeah.
It's like you see the true darkness.
Right.
Because it's just the Emperor, you know, that's shown up throughout Star Wars history on the hologram.
And so there's a theory that has popped up that he, and I don't know how long it's been there, but he's always had that scarred visage, and Palpatine is a hologram, like what you see, like,
so that may subset the hologram then.
So yeah, so he's like,
see, I don't agree
so
with that.
Like, well, and I'm just
well, I mean,
this, so.
You know, the makeup,
he's
the makeup
been
in the second trilogy was terrible,
right,
compared to the makeup they did for him in Return of the Jedi.
Right.
The animators of Rebels used pictures from Return of the Jedi,
right?
Because it looks like that Palpatine.
So, but so the this fan theory is that he always had the scarred,
like
up
he
face,
was scarred, and,
right?
Yeah.
And but like he either force projected the you know the real regal look that he had before his battle with Mace Windu, and then after that he just figured, what the hell, I'll just drop the facade.
Yeah, because he can use that the Jedi attacked him and turned him into what he is.
Which I don't believe.
Yeah.
I think that's people who
don't like the second trilogy, that have a negativity for the second trilogy.
Right.
And have a negativity for Mace Windu, where Mace Windu is not a good, like, good character.
He was
on a whole.
So,
but his actions in that part were totally what Mace Windu should have been the whole time.
In looking back, though, Mace Windu. Well, yeah. He was the personification of everything that was wrong with the Jedi Order.
Because he had been trained in the Jedi Temple.
He was so, well, there's that. But he was more arrogant than most.
Right.
He didn't learn new things.
Mm-hmm.
And he was quicker to violence than most of the council.
Right.
And so that's why it's interesting. And I think him being able to hurt Palpatine the way he did,
it's because he was closer to the dark side than
to take that away and say, oh, he always looked like that.
Yeah.
You lose a lot in that moment. And then you lose a lot of Anakin's motivation.
Right.
For what, for solidifying why the Jedi are the bad guys.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. So, yeah, pulling her out, putting her back was awesome. The blue flame, when his hand comes through that
gate. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So all he needed to do to get in there was to pull Ezra back, right?
Right.
Because Ezra is the one who can open it. It was so cool. So very cool. And then when he gets back and they figure out how to close. Of course, Sabine figures out how to close it because she's brilliant.
Right.
And it was such a, them as a team.
The idea of the art. And, you know, because the art was always the thing with Sabine from the beginning,
well,
when they did the,
it was the
introductions
thing with Thrawn
of the characters
too, which, right. You know, and Thrawn's off world. So he's not there to help.
Right. Yeah. If Thrawn would have had that, he would have opened it if he would have been there.
Yeah.
But the idea of her character always has been the art from the time that they introduced her in the short. And for her to even like tell the minister, I'm smarter than you. Yeah.
And she told him that a couple times.
And I'm like, because she's an artist.
Yeah.
And everything she's done, she's an artist.
I mean,
like,
even the weapon.
Even the weapon. Yeah,
even
I was going to say, even her
was
weapon.
Was a work of
yeah.
art, you know.
Yeah, so it's like easy to say, yeah, she would figure it out.
Right.
It's like it was left there for her to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughter opens the gate, the son closes the gate.
Right.
Yeah, because of the balance of the force.
Exactly. And, you know, the whole, it's the son, he gets up there,
and hearing
he
their
it.
Voices. When they open the gate and when they close the gate, you hear, I mean, you hear Sam Witwer for just a moment.
Just a sec.
But I'm like,
it was pre-recorded.
I think it was cool that they did that too, that like you hear the echoes of their voices.
And then, but what I also love though was the motion that the son went into that kind of like prayer mode.
Yeah.
And so did the daughter.
Well, and then, he stabs down.
Yeah. And then the clap.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that Hulk smash clap thing was great. Their escape was awesome.
Yeah.
And then the real, you know, probably the second best part of this episode, though, was the end where Ezra and Hera are standing over where the temple was and the crater's gone.
Yep.
It's beautiful grass and, you know, as far as the eye can see. And in the distance, there's that wolf.
The Doom Wolf.
The Doom Wolf. And, you know, Ezra gets his goodbye.
Yep.
And, you know, Kanan's will, if you will,
yeah,
no pun intended, moves on,
right?
And it was at that moment.
Well,
too,
and I mean
that,
him appearing to Hera and like when and one of her moments of great doubt, you know, Kanan's there,
right?
And he puts his hand on her shoulder and she feels that even though she doesn't know what she's feeling,
right?
And I'm like, yeah, because the Force is a powerful being.
Now I feel like they would have, if they would have done Kanan as a Force ghost, it would have cheapened everything.
I don't think
they even considered it.
I don't think
it.
They even thought of it because Kanan wasn't like trained like Yoda or Obi-Wan.
Well, and so I recently read. So after I finished watching this, I went and I read the Kanan miniseries or maxi series, I guess. One, I'm kind of sad that I slept on that for as long as I did because I got that on Comixology well over a year ago. And then, you know, it's just sat on my tablet. But wow, that was a great story.
Yeah, it was a really good story.
So
I enjoyed that one. That was one of the better ones that Marvel did.
Yep. All right. So before we get into the last finale, we're going to take a quick break for a commercial. Speaking of Comixology, that's a segue. See what I did there?
Okay.
And so, we'll be right back. Okay, picture this. You're somewhere you don't want to be. And what's the one thing you always want to do? You always want to read comics. We all do. That's why we're here. All right. So here's how we can help you. Go to infamouspodcast.com/comixology. That's infamouspodcast.com/comixology. And click on the link to start your 30-day free trial of Comixology Unlimited. You can go on there and read books from Image, like Invincible. We've talked about Invincible on the show. You can read books like IDW. It is one of my all-time favorite comics. You can read Marvel, DC. I think they have Valiant now. There's a ton of stuff on there. It's great. And it's all free for 30 days to decide if you want to keep it. But definitely go check it out. It's well worth it, and you can read comics anywhere you are, from your phone, your tablet, your computer. It doesn't matter. So go to infamouspodcast.com/comixology today. All right, we're back. So, yeah, don't forget, check out Comixology for the Unlimited. It's awesome. They have so much cool stuff there. You can actually go read that Kanan comic that we were just talking about.
Most of the Marvel stuff.
Marvel's on there now.
Is the classic Marvel Star Wars on
there,
too?
Like, a ton of Marvel. I don't know about the classic.
It's probably in the trade paperback form on there.
Yeah, they have the collections of, like, the Dark Horse stuff, and everything is on there.
Well, the original Marvel stuff is just fun to read because you see...
The original Star Wars.
Yeah, the original Star Wars.
I do not know if that's on
there.
It's
probably on there as a trades that Marvel's reprinted and all that. Or Dark Horse, because they both have reprinted them.
All right.
Because that's what you do.
So we're in the home stretch here. Two more episodes to go. We have A Fool's Hope, which is, you know, kind of the band is back together.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you have Hera and Rex and Kallus, Gregor Wolf. And then freaking Hondo.
And Ketsu.
But freaking Hondo, man. I love Hondo.
Yeah.
Hondo. I love Hondo, even though I can't say his name. And the fact that it's Jim Cummings is the voice, mm-hmm. and I just always picture Hondo after a pot of honey, like Winnie the Pooh. Yeah. So, and...
It's a different type of honey.
But, so it's really nice to see with Hondo the way... Ezra has affected him.
Yeah. I mean,
because if you go all the way back, they're absolutely, and he cares deeply. Because if you go all the way back when he first introduced himself to Hondo as Lando Calrissian.
Yeah.
Right. And Hondo totally screws Ezra over.
Yeah.
And then their second interaction, Hondo totally screws Ezra over. And then the third time, Ezra saves his life. And, you know, he's like, this kid is something special. But when he first figures out Ezra's got, he's a Force Jedi type thing. I love the line because I had a friend who was a Jedi. At least I think we were friends. And he's totally talking about Obi-Wan.
Right?
And it was such a cool moment because you flash back to what Hondo did to Obi-Wan and Anakin. Like, I feel like there's penance for that with Ezra.
Right.
And this was the culmination of all of that because he flat out says there's for that boy, there's nothing I wouldn't do.
Right.
And man, Rian Johnson.
Well, and it's that idea of all the things he's seen, all the bad stuff that's happened to the universe. And so, that he knows he thinks that his friend's dead. Obi-Wan was his friend. And he thinks he died because he knows that all the Jedi had died.
And he thinks he might have had some small part to play with that. So it's in this moment that really made me think about The Last Jedi and reevaluate.
All right.
Because this is a complete ancillary character.
Yeah.
With Hondo. He's barely even a bit player.
Yeah. He's been in five episodes? Five or six?
10 at the most.
Yeah.
So, but to have a character developed like that, to be able to deliver that kind of line with that kind of gravity to
it.
And for him to matter.
Yeah.
Right? And then you go into The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And you have the stuff that they do with Leia, which was whatever. You know, it could have been handled a little differently. You introduce a character like Rose. You introduce a character like Haldo.
Mm-hmm.
You make the character choices that you did with Finn and Poe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And looking back at this, like, to quote Luke Skywalker, or to paraphrase, everything he did in those situations was wrong.
Right.
At least the way I interpreted The Last Jedi, I spent 2+ hours of that movie thinking Haldo was a mole of some kind, maybe. You know, like, there's something not to trust.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And I'm not saying, it should have been Ackbar who did, you know, the Hera Syndulla flying the, you know,
it should have been Leia. That part, I think, should have been Leia.
Absolutely should have. Yeah. Probably. You're probably right. But you can't. There's a way to introduce a character who doesn't have a lot of screen time and isn't really involved and make you care about them.
Yeah.
And they did not. He did not do that.
Here's a perfect example. That's not Star Wars. Sure. It's Star Trek.
Yeah.
Star Trek 2. They introduce a character named Peter Preston.
Yeah.
He's one of the trainees on board the Enterprise during the whole Khan thing.
Right.
Scotty's nephew.
Which, yeah.
You care about him. You care that he died.
Yeah.
He was only on screen for like 5 minutes.
Not even.
Yeah.
I don't think he says one line.
In the director's cut, he's on the screen for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But the whole idea of this character who's not on screen very long, but it affects the story. It affects how you feel about the story.
When the turbo lift doors open and he's holding the just charred remains of his nephew.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, in the original cut, you don't know it's his nephew.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But the thing when Scotty's standing there and, you know, he's dying and he asks Kirk, can I go?
Yeah.
And Adam Kirk's like, yeah, you can go. And Scotty's like, he stayed at his post when everybody else left. It's like, damn, that's a cool ass character.
Oh, yeah.
And that kid didn't even like have to do that.
Ryan Johnson didn't do that with any of the new characters.
And that's what I agree with you on.
So this is my problem. And, you know, this isn't it's because she was a girl or because of this and that. So I think they went so far out of the way not to do fan service.
Yeah.
With Akbar, which I agree. That would have been a lot of fan service. It would have made sense in a way.
I think it was just the idea that. For somebody that was, you know, another character where he shows up in a movie and he's there for a few minutes and, you know, yeah, it's a trap is his line.
I mean, but
he's literally like, what, in just a few scenes, makes an impression.
Right.
And then they blow him out the window.
But Laura Dern had more screen time in The Last Jedi than Haldo did.
Akbar did.
Or, I'm sorry. Than Akbar did in Return of the Jedi, The Force Awakens, and The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
So she had more screen time. So they had a lot of time to build that character up and make me care about it.
And you didn't care.
And
at
I
all.
Did not care about her at all.
No.
And part of that is I think Laura Dern has specific roles that she can play.
Yeah.
And she's a very sincere actress. You
right.
know, like in Enlightenment on HBO or The Big C from Showtime.
Jurassic Park.
Those are the types of things that she's good at. This was not, she was not cast correctly.
If Haldo would have said, you know, if Leia would have said, I'm staying behind, and Haldo would have said, I'm staying with you.
Sure.
That would have made Haldo more redeemable of a character because it would have been, you know, we've been together. We fought through all this stuff, you know, and we're friends and that. But for Haldo to say, you know, go on and, you know, I like him when she's talking about Poe. And it's like, nobody likes Poe in this movie.
Nobody likes Poe.
The thing with Finn. On the other hand, and, you know, we're talking about Last Jedi. Finn was just trying to get Rey.
Right.
And it's like, you know, and then this Rose girl gets in the way.
I mean, Finn's a coward anyway. I mean, well, he runs from everything.
You know.
So, all right.
I think he redeemed himself in that.
He absolutely did. Okay, so back into.
Rose, thanks a lot for screwing up his game.
Way to C-block him. Okay, so the move that Hondo recommends them play here.
Yeah.
Hanging out in the subspace lane, magnetically connect to the shipping ship.
It's like, wait a minute, barge. Is Hondo going to be in the Solo movie?
No.
Did Han Solo learn this trick?
Well, this was a little different trip than hanging out with the garbage.
Still the same kind of trick.
It's up there.
Magnetically attaching yourself to an Imperial ship.
I did love, was it Rex or Callus who said, how many times have you been hit? And he's like,
yeah,
I've lost count. It's worked before. But yeah, it was great. I was a little bummed we didn't get more of Callus as a rebel.
Yeah. But he's been fighting somewhere.
He has. And so that's the neat thing because Rex shows up in his Last Jedi gear.
Return
of the Jedi gear, which is now canon. He is the character.
It was canon when Dave Filoni said it.
Yeah.
I don't feel that they retconned it because those troopers that were on Endor had no names.
He had a name.
Well, he had a name in the expanded universe.
Yeah,
right.
But none of that matters.
The expanded universe does not exist. It is a parallel universe. It can be walked into in the world between worlds.
Yes. But so then
that would have been a cool thing if they would have done that.
Oh, how great would it be to like walk by and see like the Marvel Thrawn, like, you know, Empire's End.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so okay, so you have this, you have the great battle on the Sandcrawler.
Yeah.
That is just kind of like, how did that thing stay airborne?
They just had the repulsors on.
Yeah, but I guess repulsors don't use much fuel. But yeah. It was hilarious because there it is. That battle was great. Now, did you think Azadi turned?
No. I was like, wait a minute.
What? I was like, there's no way he's going to turn. This has to be a trap. Yeah. And the second that I was like, okay, he didn't turn.
Well, when they were talking about we need that one person,
right?
And I'm like, oh, this is all a setup.
So, but for a second there, it's like, okay, hold on. And then they did the thing where him and Rook like made eye contact. And it was like a wink, like, you know, the overly like, ah, it's like, oh, he's totally leading them on. Like, it's for sure now. Was great. Ezra was at the top of his game. The way Sabine was flying around with,
it's like finally, you know, we get to see the Mandalorian. Troopers.
So for all you Boba Fett fanboys and girls out there, this is how Mandalorian armor should work.
Yeah.
And not just some jabroni that stole it because his dad stole some.
Right.
You know, let's
well, even his dad had more control of it than he did.
Barely.
Yeah.
Because he ran into the slave one.
Yeah.
You know, anyway. And
I like the scene where Rook goes chasing after Ezra into the cave and light it up.
So that was in that original trailer.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like I was waiting for that scene. It's like, because Rebels
and when
has
it
not,
happens
and Rebels has not been one to use extra footage in their marketing materials. But when it happened and he's standing there and the yellow eyes and then the other eyes and then he, you know, pops the lightsaber.
Right.
It's like, oh, God, Filoni, you are a genius.
And then when they all just come running out and everybody like, whoa,
his wolf pack.
Yep.
So, which was great. And I guess there is a cut that they did where when they're biting the stormtroopers, it makes the sound of squeaky toys.
Oh, okay.
Instead of their screams, which is kind of dark.
Well, you know. But I think that, and this is where I was telling Elva the thing with Price, because Price knew about the Lothwolves.
Yep.
Lothwolves were a Lothal legend.
Yep.
And I'm like, I literally, that was the whole thing of, she's betrayed her planet.
Yep.
And the wolves know that. And that's why they went after her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just Rook's face.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what the hell?
the one just takes and just chucks him over the edge. And, you know, I mean, that guy's got more lives than, you know, anything. But
each of the wolves have personality, too.
They did.
And I was like, that's impressive for something that you just introduced this season. Something that you really didn't have to extend that much to. But, like, you know, when the one in the episode before World Between Worlds picks Chopper up.
Yeah.
Like, just does it for fun. Like, he's playing with the toy.
He's like, oh.
And just grabs him and takes off running with him. I'm like, okay.
Well, because Chopper did the... And the wolf, like, kind of looks at him. Like, gives him the side end. And he's, like kind of shrugs.
Okay,
picks him up. And then Chopper's like... Chopper. And then so this ends with them making their way back to the Imperial complex.
Price is captured and
she's captured. They're on their way. And then we have family reunion and farewell.
Yep.
This is probably the second finest hour of Rebels, or 45 minutes of Rebels outside of Twilight of the Apprentice.
Okay.
In my opinion. I don't know how you feel about it. To me, the second season,
I'd have to go back and watch it all.
The second season finale with Twilight of the Apprentice
is a really well done story.
Is just it, not only is it an amazing story, it's just amazing Star Wars.
Right.
But I think it's more than what we deserve.
Probably one of the best Rebels episode because everybody was there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's, you know,
that's the difference between those two finales.
And I recognize that. There's a lot to unpack here. The idea that Palpatine had Thrawn rebuild part of the Jedi Temple on the Chimera, trying to trick him into opening the door.
Yep.
And I feel like it was a lot of payoff to, again, that season 2 finale, season 3 premiere with the Sith holocron.
Yeah.
Where Ezra was playing a dangerous game there. Yep. And this was the payoff to that. It's he's not. I don't think he's a Jedi.
No, he's on the same path as
he's
Ahsoka.
He's like Ahsoka. And, you know, and I'll argue till I'm blue in the face that Luke isn't really a Jedi, but it's semantics at this point.
It's the whole idea that the way it was written is that if you can build your lightsaber, you're a Jedi.
Well, but But then George changed that because he blew the temple out of the water.
And all the training and all that, you know.
So,
but
I mean, if Anakin was too old to be trained, then, you know, they should have just shot Luke in the head.
I think like Ahsoka, Ezra, Luke, Rey could be considered more like a samurai type Jedi.
Yeah. Ronin.
Yeah, they're Ronin Jedis, whereas, you know, the Jedi that existed during Palpatine's time as a senator and all that were just
right.
Jedi.
So if you want to look at it in like terms of religion, as yeah. Jedi as a religion, right? They are the non-denominational Jedi.
Right.
They
yeah.
are, you know, they're the Protestant, whereas Jedi that we saw or that are the Jedi of myth are like the Catholic Church.
Yeah, sure.
And then this new sect of Jedi that even that Luke was training was more of a non-denominational, maybe Episcopalian, if you will.
Well, and that's, you know, I mean,
just kind of less
that
strict.
Part of the story that in Last Jedi, you know, links to this and everything yeah. else of Luke being like the Jedi is a dying thing. The
right.
Sith is a dying thing. You know, they don't exist anymore.
Mm-mm.
He's like, you know, I feel like Luke didn't even feel like he was the last Jedi.
Right.
That he had come to the realization that he wasn't a Jedi. And that he just had abilities, you know, that a Jedi would have.
Far beyond those of mortal man.
Oh. And spending, it's that whole thought of, and, you know, it's the thing where you build your own story.
Yeah.
Luke spent time on that Jedi planet, plenty of history on that Jedi planet,
right.
even though he said he didn't read the books. There's still enough history in the planet and how the planet communicated with him
right.
that he knew things.
And, you know, like Luke was super powerful because
right.
he was able to shut himself off from the Force
right, yeah.
and not exist within it, which I think kind of is one of the more underrated things that Rian Johnson
yeah,
did.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, so their plan to come in and take over the Imperial
Command Center. Yeah.
Was some of the greatest like heist cartoon stuff you've ever seen.
Literally these episodes are kind of like a more adventurous 30 dozen.
Yeah.
You didn't expect people to die.
No.
Whereas Rogue One, you expected them to die.
Right.
And this was one where it was like, you didn't expect them to die.
It's like the Italian Job.
Yeah. Yeah. More that Ocean's 11
yeah.
type thing. We're going to steal something.
Because they were
yeah.
stealing the
well, and
Republic,
I like
the
idea
Empire
of
command.
This and it goes back to Macquarie's art. Those things fly,
yeah.
And I'm like, you know, Dave Fanoli said it in one of the interviews of people don't realize that those are flying vehicles
right.
that land on a planet, come in, clean everything out,
and
just
take off. Yeah,
and
they
I'm
don't
like,
want to leave anything
totally,
behind.
Totally, it's like. You know, Macquarie's always like Macquarie's affected this show more than any other Star Wars.
So I
in the fact
to
that it looks like Macquarie.
I wanted to talk about Ralph Macquarie. I wanted to get through this first
yeah.
and just kind of talk about like all of that at the end. But
sure.
we can do it now. So Zeb, the Lasats are
yeah.
the original Wookiees.
Wookiees, right.
And Chopper is very close to the original R2-D2,
yep.
just a little like
yeah, that's what
down.
I like the idea that this show acknowledge Macquarie, you know, Macquarie's been gone
yeah.
for years now, but it's like more than anything else. It's like, yeah, everything in Star Wars is affected by Macquarie
yeah.
art. But this show was Macquarie's
mm-hmm.
art.
That's
in a
the
show.
Lightsabers with the thinner blades
yep.
and all of that
yeah.
stuff.
Just
yeah.
some of the designs of the lightsabers look like stuff that
yeah.
he did, yeah.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, there's tons of art books out there
oh, yeah, yeah.
about the art of Ralph Macquarie and you know, go and look and
just
look at what
look
the original Millennium
a,
Falcon looked like. And,
there's
and
a line
like
of
that.
Books that they did for a while called Star Wars Art,
mm-hmm.
and each one was a different faction.
Right.
And that's something to look at. The Star Wars that Dark Horse published.
Yeah.
Because the artist tried to...
The Star Wars.
Yeah, the
yeah.
Star Wars. Tried to stick to Macquarie's
mm-hmm.
art, so...
And he did a really good... They or the artists
yeah.
that did that did a really
oh, yeah,
good
yeah.
job.
So, I'm like, if you look at that and look at Rebels, you're like, oh, yeah, I see it.
So, anyway. All right, so back to this. There are a lot of correlations between Return of the Jedi and this last episode.
Yeah?
As far as, you know, Ezra going in unarmed, turning himself over, you know, to Thrawn and right. the, you know, to the master and the apprentice, if you will. But Palpatine showing up as the hologram, as, you know, the senator version.
Palpatine.
And it's like, you know, it didn't even register at first.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, it's just Palpatine. Like, I didn't
I literally was like, oh, he's screwing with Ezra.
And then I was like, oh, holy crap, he's messing with Ezra.
Yeah, he's messing with Ezra. Because Ezra's seen him.
Right. Yeah,
he saw
him in the...
People know what the Emperor looks like. Mm-hmm. And so for him to show up as the genteel,
right.
kindly-looking old man...
The grandpa.
Ezra walks in and literally, like, you know, I'd say the way they did his face was kind of like, what are you doing?
It had the reverse effect, though.
Yeah.
Because Ezra called the bullshit, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right there.
Like, literally, it's like the temptation to... be with his mother and father,
right?
Had waned at that point,
because
to see his mother and father again was rewarding to him, and they seen him,
mm-hmm.
you know, even though he's older, they knew it was him,
right?
And for him to see them and see the love in their eyes,
well,
was enough reward for him to say, you know what, my friends need my help.
He had said goodbye to them at the beginning of the Fool's Hope, and he was sitting in the turret, and you know, was talking to them, and all of that. It's there's nothing about this that wasn't awesome. We got to see the guards, the Emperor's Imperial Guards, without the robes.
Oh yeah,
to see what
their
armor
looked like. Special
division,
yeah,
right, was great, and they had the Force staffs, which is something I've only read about.
Yep.
And to see kind of just how powerful those things actually were, but not powerful enough.
Yeah, just, you know, it depended on the strength of the Jedi.
So I think it was very much like the Mandalorian weapons.
Yeah.
You know, during the Jedi War, with the Mandalorian Jedi War, where it was, you know, there were probably some Jedi who were very susceptible.
You could suspect that some of his Royal Guard were Mandalorians, just from the design of their outfits and...
of their helmets.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, plus some of them were just military that had been... there since the Clone Wars.
So but getting to see them without the robes for the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
In
when
animation,
they came in, I'm like, oh cool, Crimson Empire.
I was like, wow.
Yeah. Because that goes back to another Dark Horse book, Crimson Empire, mm-hmm. where it was the special division of the Royal Guard.
Everything between Thrawn and Ezra could have been an episode by itself.
Yeah.
Like free of this.
I think
it would have been
what
great.
Was awesome is Thrawn being who he is, thought, oh well, Ezra's beat.
Yeah.
And then when all hell starts breaking loose and the doors open,
mm-hmm.
and just Thrawn's like, I didn't expect that.
No. And it's because he underestimated Ezra.
Well, he underestimated this group.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
But he thought he knew them better than they knew themselves.
Too well.
Yep.
And they went on the offensive.
It's called overscouting your opponent.
Yep.
And thinking that you know everything that they're going to do. And again, like I said earlier in the episode, the way this group improvised was awesome.
Well, and that's the thing. In a card game, he showed his cards too soon.
Way too
soon. And they knew that he had studied them.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's when it's like, change it up. You know, Kanan sacrificing himself and Ezra becoming a leader.
Yep.
Finally.
Well, and he thought that they were going to be lost without Kanan.
Oh, right.
And Kanan did what every master is supposed to do, to train the apprentice to carry on. And he did that very well, which is where Deepa failed Kanan because she babied him.
Right.
So and she let the troopers baby him.
Well, yeah.
Which was the bigger problem there, which if you go read the Kanan comic, you'll understand what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Having Mart back was great.
Just everybody.
Just
bringing
Visago. Yeah.
Visago, I was like,
well, I mean, Visago came back when
I'm like,
they
the only one I was
from
like,
the crawler.
But. Lando didn't show up, and I was like, I'm like, okay.
I was surprised that he didn't just for like a minute, maybe even an
But
epilogue.
At this point, I'm like, Lando's on Bespin.
Yeah.
Because this is literally like, and that's something that I think would have been cool if they would have acknowledged it, is mentioning something about the Rebels making an offensive against, you know, the planet where Jyn and them were.
So
Scarif.
This is pre-Scarif, though.
How far?
It's a couple months at most, but, like, this is pre-Scarif.
I just feel like they were happening around the same time.
They were.
Yeah.
Because there was a lead. So there was a scene that they wrote where Krennic was going to show up in this episode.
See, that would have been cool.
And they just didn't build the character.
That would have been. Well, that would have been the when him
Ben
going back to Coruscant.
Yeah. I think Ben Mendelsohn did the.
Oh, did he do the voice?
Did some voice.
See, that
work,
would be cool. So. That's a cool, like, Blu-ray DVD yeah. feature.
Now, this is a series I will buy on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Yeah. When they're getting the shield back on, it was like the opposite of the Death Star.
Yeah.
Like trying to lower the shields. They're trying to turn the
shields
back on. We lose Gregor, which I think if you're going to kill a clone, that's the one you kill.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
We didn't even mention the fact that the clones were rocking the AT-AT as
their
home.
Yes.
Instead of the AT-ST.
Yeah. Well, it was there.
Yeah. Why not, right? So anyway. That was great. But so Gregor dies and, you know, his last words were what you would hope to get, especially from that group of clones.
Yeah.
That at least I died for something that I chose to fight for.
Right. Yeah.
Which I think was the theme of that particular group all through Clone Wars.
Sure.
Like, yeah, they were bred to do this, but they chose to be the ones out there fighting.
Right.
And, yeah, it was cool. And then Rook, the way Zeb took out Rook was great. And then when Thrawn calls for him and Zeb's like, oh, hold on, he's stuck. And then, oh, yeah, he's not going to make it. He's not available.
Yeah, he's not going to make it.
It was that sweet little, you guys took Kanan from me.
Yep.
Like, it's kind of a middle finger to them. Yeah. And then.
Well, it was just that fight that you were waiting to see.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, of people that you were going to fight, it's like the big guy's going to fight the little guy.
Ever since Rook turned and looked at him and he's like, oh, he saw me through the binoculars.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I've been waiting for that throwdown really to happen. Yeah, and then, you know, just Ezra on Thrawn's ship, he escapes the Emperor. He destroys the remains of the temple and the remains of the doorway to the world between worlds.
Oh, yeah.
At least from Lothal. When he shows up on the bridge and starts
kicking ass. Sets it up when Rook gets away.
Yeah.
When Mark's like, well, I got to do this last thing for Ezra.
Right.
And you're like, what else?
You didn't
what
see
else?
The pervil
like,
coming.
Like, what are you talking about? Who are you getting? I'm like, who's coming? It's like, that's when I thought it might have been Lando.
Yeah.
At that point, I was like, is Lando going to show up? And then when the Purrgil show up, I'm like, sweet Lord. I'm like, we're going all the way back to season one.
That was a deep cut.
I was
deep,
like,
deep
man,
cut.
I'm like, how awesome.
But yeah, so that entire scene on the bridge was called by the Bendu.
Yeah.
So the Bendu said, I see you losing with, you know, being smothered by arms all around you as your empire crumbles. And it was awesome. I love the way Ezra controlled that room as a Jedi without a lightsaber.
Yep.
I think that was some of the best work they did with the Ezra character as far as animation went. I think it was it was the culmination of everything. 'Cause he even gets shot and he just shrugs it off. Like,
he literally pulls like an Ahsoka Tano.
Yeah.
He literally like comes into the room and goes, I'm not a Jedi.
Yeah.
We're going to show you what we can do.
Yeah. This is.
Yeah.
As I was watching, I was thinking about the series finale of Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah.
And Superman's little chat with Darkseid.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, I live in a world.
The unlimited power thing. Like,
goes,
I could destroy everything.
Right. Where he goes, the thing, and it's always stuck with me because I think it's the finest just example of who Superman is.
Right.
It's where he says, I feel like I live in a world made of cardboard. I have to always be careful not to let loose because I could hurt something or someone. But you can take it, can't you, big man? And then he just punches him clear across Metropolis. But that was Ezra in this moment.
Yeah.
Because he did not have to hold back.
No.
Because as far as he knew, he was following Kanan to join the Cosmic Force.
Right.
Because, you know, Kanan's not a part of the Living Force like Obi-Wan and Ezra are.
Do you feel like he knew that he wasn't going to die?
Because
you look at World Between Worlds, when he runs one way and Ahsoka goes the other and he says, find me.
Right.
It's like, I literally was like, he's not going to die.
Right. And that
I'm
was
just
his
like,
vision.
He's taking Thrawn somewhere.
So this vision that he had about this particular path was, this is how I save everybody.
Right.
everybody, not just Lothal, but the rest of the Empire.
Yep.
Because if Thrawn is around
for Endor,
for Yavin,
yeah,
for Endor, for Hoth, for any of that stuff, it's a completely different story, right?
Yeah.
And what he does is by taking himself off, by taking Thrawn off the board, he sacrifices himself that way, where he's not going to be there to protect Lothal,
right?
But that's how I read that. But man, I loved that Purrgil episode when they first showed up. I loved Ezra's connection with the animals.
Yeah,
it was, because that's typically a Sith trait.
Yeah,
which I thought was a great way to turn that on its head.
Yeah, but it all just links back to being in touch with your home.
He's balanced.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, he's very balanced.
When he's on Lothal, he is a very balanced person.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Absolutely. But them taking off, you know...
The Jedi totally could have been Green Lanterns.
Yeah. They should have been. I mean, like, when you brought that up, that was the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, the protectors.
This is why the Green Lanterns protected their homes.
Right, yeah.
They're in that sector.
Because you care about where you're from.
Yeah.
And if you're not from there, if you're just living in a temple, nothing matters.
Of course, 2814 is a pretty cushy job, because Earth is the only planet that's, you know, in the sector that has people on it.
So. Oh, that ain't right. Krypton, rest in peace.
Well, they let Krypton go. Yeah. Abin Sur let it blow up.
He felt bad for it after that.
Anyway. You know, so, you know, they launch the ship. They do what they need to do. They, you know, recognize what Ezra did. That last moment between Ezra and Sabine before he took off to go to the Chimera was she didn't want him to go.
Right.
But she understood, and she knew she had to distract Hera, because there was no way in hell
Hera was letting him leave. She wasn't going to let him leave.
She was going to handcuff herself to him.
Yep.
Or stun him or maim him in some way so he couldn't go.
And he knew that.
And so did Sabine.
Yeah.
So, and then so they launched the Imperial ship. They, you know,
Price,
hop on the ghost.
Price being
they take
who
off.
She thinks she is.
And Price goes down with the
ship.
Yeah,
Price goes down.
Because she thinks she's the hero.
Well, and she thinks that, like, you know, nothing's going to stop her or the Empire.
Right.
And it's like, no. Yeah.
Wrong story. Anyway. So this episode very well could have ended there.
Yes.
And it would have been fantastic.
With the ghosts flying over Lothal
and the
crowds
people, you know,
cheering.
All the Gungans cheering.
The only thing we were missing was
by.
The Ewok music.
No,
from the special editions.
Oh, I told you I don't have the special editions.
That's one scene in the special editions that I think is better.
Because they show the whole galaxy.
Because they show the galaxy. Yeah.
Actually, I think I do. Actually, I have the DVDs of the special edition.
I would hope so.
But
I still have my VHS tapes of the original trilogy.
Yeah. Well, I have the LaserDisc digital copies.
You know, my original ones that my mom and dad got
me. The VHS,
Yeah, slipcase, all three of them.
Nice. Oh, I remember that set.
Yeah, the one that had, I think.
Because it formed Vader's face, right?
No.
Oh, that
no,
was the
one
after
before
that.
No, this was the one before that, yeah.
Okay.
Vader's face might have been the special editions.
Yeah. Okay. The epilogue was perfect.
The epilogue was misleading at first.
At first.
And then when they show the city, you're like, oh, this is a little bit later on.
It was because, you know, it's after Endor.
Yeah.
So one of the really cool things I think that they did with this is, I don't know if you noticed, but the rendering changed. It wasn't in the same design style as the rest of the episode or the rest of Rebels.
It looked older.
It was older. It was cleaner. But I think this is going to be the CG that they do for the next series.
Oh, okay.
Because Sabine's face, her nose was thinner. There was a little more detail.
Right.
Then Ahsoka looked completely different. And the way the ship flew. It had a different, it just had a different animation style than what the ghost had. In the
My
scene
one
right
question,
before.
When the hell was Hera pregnant?
Well, obviously during the whole
thing how long, I'd like to know how long the process of the pregnancy was and when did she tell somebody?
Well, we would have to go back to Clone Wars when that one clone had babies with the Twi'lek.
Oh, yeah. So. I forgot about that guy.
Yeah. Of course, they had the tendrils.
Right.
So I guess non-Kaminin cloning sperm is way more powerful.
I don't know.
So,
but I look forward to wherever his story comes in.
So I like that they named him Jason as a little like wink, wink, nudge to the Legends universe with Jason Solo. You know, it tied into the, what are the shorts? The Star Wars shorts.
Oh, the Forces of Destiny.
Yeah. Because we know Hera survived Endor.
And well, she was at the Battle of Endor. Right. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying we know she survived that battle because she was there at the end, and those are allegedly canon.
They are canon. It's Dave Filoni also. Right.
So
you have to watch them now.
I've watched them.
Okay.
So they're really good. I don't like the animation.
They're not going to be taken out of canon at all. I mean, it's an idea that I think because it was smart that they got Dave Filoni to do the animation. The toys may not have been successful.
Yeah.
But because Dave Filoni knows Star Wars, he did a really good job of telling their stories from where they needed to be.
Right.
And just having Hera interact with Han Solo was awesome. Yeah.
So it was worth it just for that.
Yeah.
So you have Hera and Jason, which was great. So she was obviously pregnant at the end of Rebels.
Right.
Because he's like
six. Well, she's pregnant when she tells... Well, obviously she's pregnant when she tells him that she loves him.
Yeah. Well,
and
unless it's like a forced midichlorian baby.
Ooh. No. Because he actually looked like him.
Oh, yeah. Just like him. But... which was really cool animation, the way they kind of scaled down. Yeah. So you were right about Zeb.
Yes.
Which was cool.
The Kallus thing was awesome.
It was such a nice little time. Because I'm like,
you know, the whole idea that Kallus carried this guilt, that's why he became Fulcrum and why he helped the Rebels, was because he carried this guilt thinking he had killed all the Lestats. And then to find out that, you know, they survived and they take him in as one of them.
Right.
It's like... That is like one of the coolest rewardings of a character in any story that I've ever heard.
Right.
And that, so I was happy with that.
I like that. I liked how he was covering his eyes.
Yeah.
So he couldn't see. Like, I wonder how long his hand was there.
A little moist underneath there.
Zeb, come on. Come on. Your paw is making my eyes sweat.
Yeah.
I like seeing the couple that Zeb had rescued and brought there in the first place. That was a nice little callback. And then Sabine, the whole thing with Sabine, I love the new armor, the new helmet.
Yep.
It looked great. The wall, the mural that she did was some of her finest artwork.
It looked like the father, the daughter, and the son.
Yeah, it was.
It literally looked like that. Same it was that style. Same
2D style that they did, which was great. And then I didn't expect Ahsoka to show up.
No.
I
just want to know how she got off that planet. Well, I really want to know how she got off that planet.
So she has Anakin's engineering ingenuity.
Yeah.
And there was a battle there, and there were leftover bits of ships. Sure. There was at least one leftover Inquisitor TIE fighter that Chopper didn't destroy.
Right.
So.
Well, maybe that was it then.
It you know, but like, how did she get to it? Like, you know, but where, you know.
Where's she been the whole time?
It still doesn't answer where she's been.
The thing is that's going to be some kind of mini series or something.
Now.
I think that'll be a Marvel book where they'll actually have Dave Filoni write it.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That's his character.
He was on, I think it was Collider, because I've been trying to watch everything he's talked about since then. I guess anyone who wants to do anything with Ahsoka has to come through him first, which really surprises me that Ahsoka novel got written.
Yeah.
I mean, he was really heavily involved in it.
Right.
But... I think.
Is that the story between Clone Wars and Rebels?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where, you know.
But I haven't read it, so.
It's okay.
A lot of the Star Wars stuff, I just am not, like, curious to even read it.
So, I've been reading a lot of the books.
Thrawn I was because it was Timothy Zahn coming back and writing his character again with a new origin.
Yeah.
And that. But with it's like some of these I read the description of them and I'm like, do we need this?
So, too much of it is just meh.
Yeah.
Right? It's not, you know, the Phasma book was really good.
Okay.
Yeah. But
I don't care for that character, so I would never read
But then
that
it
book.
Didn't matter.
Right.
You know? It's like I felt like I wasted 9 hours of my life listening to that audiobook.
I'm very curious, you know, and we're pretty much done with Rebels talk.
Brian's
got one more thing. We're not done with Rebels talk.
No, I think so. I told you, I think the next series is going to
be
Sabine.
So we are done with Rebels talk, yeah. But you think it's going to be a continuation
Sabine
of some of these characters.
And Ahsoka. Sabine and Ahsoka will be not the focal point.
Yeah.
But they will be the mentor characters. And they will be leading a new generation of rebels.
Poe Dameron.
Looking for Ezra.
And Poe Dameron will be in the story.
God, I hope not.
I'm really curious to see where JJ is going to go with this now.
Well, apparently he wrote
a script and they scrapped it.
In Rian Johnson. So, like, I mean, I know we gushed about The Last Jedi, and I still like it.
I don't feel like I gushed about it. I said I liked it because I did like it. I'd still say that I liked it. I still had problems with it that were all three times.
Right. Yeah.
I had the same problems.
Because, I mean, I did see
and
that.
The problems in Last Jedi, you could drive a sandcrawler through.
Yeah.
We'll do a Star Wars pun there. You could drive a sandcrawler through the problems. It's not as bad as some of the other ones, but it's not as good as, like, you know. Even I feel like, and you know, I haven't watched Force Awakens probably in like a year and a half.
Okay.
I still feel like Force Awakens was a better movie.
Force Awakens is the better movie.
Yeah.
And I don't think
And it's not because JJ directed it. I just think that because it was Lawrence Kasdan co-writing it.
Right.
It felt like Star Wars.
I think Rian Johnson. Now, I agree that they needed to clear the table of the Skywalkers.
Well, yeah, you wanted that.
They need to move beyond the Skywalkers and the saga.
Would it have been better to, with passing of Carrie Fisher, would it have been better to have the character sacrifice herself?
Yes.
And make it a heroic ending instead of this, whatever is going to happen in episode 9, where I think what happened.
They should have given her a glorious death.
Right. And I think my problem.
In the shade.
Is that they were lazy and they didn't want to deal with it the way they should have dealt with it. And now they're leaving it to JJ to figure out.
So one, I agree with that. Two, I think they were dealing with the fact that they didn't use Gareth Edwards' cut of Rogue One.
Yeah.
They went back and they changed things.
Yeah.
The fact that had Harrison Ford not broken his leg, The Force Awakens would have been a very different movie.
You mean like you wouldn't have died?
I don't know about that.
No,
but
he said he would have. Yeah. He said it multiple times.
But JJ,
now that
JJ
he was
has
die.
JJ has said had he not, like, once he broke his leg, they went and they looked at some of that third act and they're like, oh no, we need to change this.
Yeah.
And I almost think that maybe what Star Wars needs to do, especially since if they're going to continue to do December releases, is film like it's going to come out in June, but then take a break and reevaluate where the story is and what's happening.
Sure.
Because we never would have got Canto Bight.
Yeah.
If someone would have stopped.
Canto Bight is filler.
Yeah.
Literal filler.
There's no reason that movie needs to be 2.5 hours.
No.
And at the end of the day, you look at Rebels and nothing that comes out for Star Wars media wise, as far as like movies, TV, cartoons,
right,
whatever, like comics, books, whatever, they can do what they want to do, but nothing that's like media that's going to be mass consumed should be released without it going across Dave Filoni and Pablo Hidalgo's desks.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Are you saying that they should be in charge of Lucasfilm?
No, I'm saying
they should be in charge of the Star Wars division of Lucasfilm.
Yes, they should
be the story division.
They are the story division. But they are the shepherds of the brand.
Right.
They are the shepherds of the story, and they need to have way more control over people who are
putting their stuff out. I'm surprised that Pablo is not a higher up than he is.
Yeah.
Because Pablo has written so many of the books about that universe.
And I mean, he's been with the company for
longer than a lot of them.
More than half of its existence.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean,
it's just my opinion.
I'm just very curious to see how JJ fixes what needs to be fixed.
Right.
How they acknowledge Leia's death, because obviously Leia's going to have to die.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I'm very curious about. I would like to see them release JJ's script for episode 8 just to see after episode 9.
Yes.
I think that releasing them after episode 9 would be interesting.
He wrote scripts for 8 and 9 based off. So what I would like to see is them give it the Star Wars treatment.
Yeah.
And do 12 issues. Well, of each one of those,
you do it alternate. Since Marvel has the rights to the Star Wars, what ifs?
Yeah, but Marvel's not going to do that. Disney's not going to do that.
Yeah.
So,
what ifs is a beloved book. I mean, and for them to do some of these Star Wars stories and what ifs.
Yeah, or you made one up right here. They called it. Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing with Thrawn. What if Thrawn was at the Battle of Endor?
Yeah.
You know,
that'd been awesome.
Yeah.
It'd have been over in a second. He would have destroyed the moon in front of Yavin and then destroyed a Yavin immediately.
Oh, you mean in A New Hope?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In Endor, yeah. I mean, they never would have made Planetfall.
No. He would have seen it coming.
Yeah. Anyway. All right.
Vader was too tainted at that point.
Yeah. I mean, he understood.
Actually, Thrawn probably would have assassinated Vader.
Probably.
Yeah.
So. All right. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No. No.
Some good talk.
Go to Comixology.
Patreon's
still on?
The Patreon's still on. Make sure you use the code Infamous. You get $5 off when you spend $15. That's good through the end of July.
Hey, so, a deal is always good.
Yep. But yeah, I can't really think of anything else.
Next week we'll talk about Voltron.
Yes. The
LOTOR season.
Yeah.
The season of LOTOR. We may talk about Toys R Us because they may or may not make an announcement this week.
Yeah, so I kind of held off on that because everything's in flux and we're recording on Tuesday. The episode's obviously out on Fridays and that leaves us 4 days for Toys R Us to make an announcement for us to be wrong about. So I would rather...
Yesterday they said they didn't have an announcement to make this week.
Yeah, so...
There's something about Canada, but I think Canada's getting shut down. UK's getting shut down. Okay. The UK's literally, they've sold it off to a conglomeration to shut it down.
Interesting.
And I think they're trying to pull everything in at this point.
All right. Well,
maybe they're going to try to save some people's jobs and keep some stores open.
That would be fantastic if
by
they
selling
did that.
Off the international branch.
Yeah. Who cares about the international?
No,
people?
It's just no, that. It's that
hey,
idea.
Poland, we love you and we want you to keep your Toys R Us's.
Love Poland. I'm gonna have to learn how to speak some Polish.
We gotta speak some Polish. You know what we should do is we should go to like the Poland Comic Con.
Oh God. Is there a Poland Comic Con?
I'm sure there is.
Oh wow. Okay.
So, anyway. All right, guys. On that note, thanks for listening. Let us know what you guys thought about Rebels. Were you happy with how it ended? Were you sad with how it ended? What would you have changed, if anything?
Satisfied.
I was very satisfied.
Yeah. I was not sad. I was not happy.
I was pumped for more Star Wars.
Well, yeah.
Which is what it needed to be. I will say this.
So now you can go watch The Last Jedi. It comes out in a couple weeks.
It's already out digitally. Yeah, digitally. It came out today digitally. So Rebels. Okay, Clone Wars took about 12 episodes to find its feet.
Yes.
Rebels did it in 4.
Yeah.
And once it hit...
Well,
like,
it didn't have a theatrical release that screwed it up.
Well, that's true, too. But I think once they learned a lot from Clone Wars and this show hit the ground running and it was so well written, produced, and tied together that I was very confident that I was going to be happy with the finale.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, it's like, you know, like I said, it would have been cool to see how Clone Wars would have ended.
Yeah.
Now that we've seen Dave be able to actually
to
end
finish
a
story.
A series.
Yeah. So, all of the episodes are on the Disney Now app currently. If you have a Roku or an Apple TV or Google Chromecast,
pretty much any of that stuff,
PlayStation
right?
4, Xbox 360,
Fire Sticks,
Xbox One,
yeah, whatever.
I don't know if it's on Amazon.
I don't know.
I don't know if it's on the Amazon Fire Sticks or not. But anyway, so it's out there.
Just unlock the Fire Stick. You know, y'all do it.
You can go
watch it.
You can go watch the entire series right now with very limited commercial interruptions. So on that note, thanks for listening.
Yeah, have a good one.
All right, bye.
Bye.
The Infamous Podcast was recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Our music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information out about the show by visiting us online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. There you can stay up to date with the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page. That's patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show so we can bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. Later.